From Chicago, Illinois, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, The Two Processes of the Mind, Attitude and Altitude. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
Far too often, and listen to this carefully, folks, this may be the message. Who knows? We listen to the God of opinion run through somebody else's mouth, back to our ears, and they don't know what's going on. And we bow down and worship that. And then when our life goes screwy, then we try to blame them for what they said, and yet we worship the process by which we fall. And one of the commandments says, thou shalt not have graven images in front of you, nor idols. So why on earth do we want to worship that? Our whole society is based upon whose opinion in the poll averages out for who. The only poll that is worth a darn is when they finally cast the ballots and they count them. Up to that point, that's another yo-yo process. Depends on whether they pleased me today or not. Yesterday they were okay, today I wouldn't vote for them. Tomorrow I'm back at it again. That type of yo-yo inside of you, of forming opinions and attempting to live in the opinion, becomes constrictive to you. And the spirit vacates that form because it cannot live in it. At that point, what comes into the form? Nervousness, worry, tension, what will people say and think, the economy's going, this is going. We can find all the reasons not to participate in this world. And the only reason that we have to participate in this world is we're here. There is no other reason to participate here. Well, you can make them up, but just being here is enough. And being here with all of the universe and all the power and supply of the universe in your corner, and maybe more appropriately, you're in its corner. And the only thing that is lack is your inability to tap into that and flow with it as it moves through. Our job is to tap it and get out of the way so it can come through. And that's the request of, oh, God, help. And then when God helps, we say, not that way. How many times I got to tell you, not that way. Next time you say, God, help me, he says, do it your own way. Then there's this big hurt feeling, God doesn't love me anymore. It's an illusion. It's just an illusion. Somebody said to me once, well, I'll know when God doesn't love me anymore because I'll die. And I thought, I hope that isn't the criteria. If that's the criteria, he hated us all from the beginning. He or she or it. Because there's no death. That's the fundamental paradox of the whole banana. You understand a banana? It hangs with a bunch. You can just pull off any one. It all looks the same. That's why it doesn't matter when you talk in psychic material worlds. No matter what you say, you can hang it with a banana bunch. And the only thing you can do with that is just eat it and throw it away and hope nobody slips on it. And it's just that continual process over and over of just playing the game, monkeying around. Then when you don't get anywhere in life, comes a great question. Why is my life like this? You know, and the answer is very cheeky, and it's very crude, and it's very true. And it's because you're stupid, and you're dumb, and you do stupid, dumb things, and you get stupid, dumb results. But how can that be? I'm perfect. That part of you that's perfect didn't get into the action yet. What part got in? The part that didn't know what's going on. You mean there's parts of me that doesn't know what's going on? If you have to ask that question, you're still in the dumb, stupid area. What do I do about that? It isn't wrong or bad to be dumb and stupid, folks. It goes with having this body. That just is part and parcel. Have you ever looked for your car keys or your glasses and they weren't where you looked and you went back there later on, they were there? Now, let me tell you, do you think God moved them in the meantime? He'd better have, or I'm crazy. You're crazy. Is it bad to be crazy? No, it's just crazy to be crazy. Is that terrible? It's fun. Why is it fun? Nobody expects anything from a crazy person. You can stand up and do crazy things, and they'll say, don't pay attention to him, he's crazy. Well, what do we get to do with all that craziness? Enjoy it. Do you have to be crazy to enjoy it in this world? Yes. As soon as you declare yourself spiritual, you cross your legs, get in a full om position, do this, and then go very solemn, and roll your eyes up, and then pretend like you're doing something. Do you know how I know that it's called pretend like you're doing something? Once you get into the soul, you can look down at all those people that are doing that and say, why don't you go do the dishes? Why don't you go make your bed? Why don't you go get these material things off your back and get them where they belong, so when you sit down like that, you won't have to roll your eyes up and wonder what's going on. See, the last thing we have out there in the world that we've put energy on, energy could be, I should do that, or I ought to do that, or some other phrase like that. As soon as energy goes that way and we don't complete the action, that is part of our energy drain. My idea, just look at your life. You'll see where your energy drains out. As soon as you say, I'm not going to do it, you can disconnect from that fast, and the energy will fill you like, gee, that feels good to say, I'm not going to do that. What we say is, I'll do that later, when I have a more opportune time. Any time that you say, I'll do that later, you're already in your laters. That was put off from before. And now's the time to deal with it. And just the dealing with that in terms of going and completing it, or saying, I'm not going to do it, frees up the energy of your consciousness. We do not have one or two great big major problems in our life. We got 30 or 40 uncompleted ones that add up to one gigantic, I don't know what's going on in my life. My energy drains and I get split. And God, I'd like to know if I know this stuff. I've read all these books, and I got this one half read, and that one half read, and three quarters over here, and finish that one, finish that one, finish that one before you start the next one. Oh, I'll finish it sometime. No, finish it now, because it's splitting you, and it's actually being a vampire on your consciousness. It's draining you. Finish it what? Thumb through it real fast, and that's it. Who said it had to be memorized? Who said it had to be done perfectly? It's just got to be finished. And you can declare finish any way you want to. It's finished. Just like, I got to make phone calls. I'm not going to. Whew, that's so nice. I don't have to. And if I want to, I can. And I don't have to. That's a nice feeling to know you don't have to. In fact, just out of curiosity, just say this after me. I don't have to. Ready? I don't have to. Isn't that an interesting little thing in there? And the next statement goes like this. After you say, I don't have to, the next one is, and I can do it if I want to. Try that. I can do it if I want to. And I don't have to. That gives you a choice in your life instead of that always obligation. I'm always obligated, always obligated, until I hate you for being obligated to you. And if I don't have to be obligated to you, I can be free with you. And if I can be free with you, I can love you. And if I can love you, I want to be with you. And if I can be with you, I'm going to be such a loving person. You won't even know who that other cad was. But it's nice that once you're loving, you can also be a cad and get away with it. People say, how cute. You don't think that's true? Remember the person you courted? You wanted to get married, and they did these little things that you thought were so clever. Now you're married, and you say, don't do that anymore. I don't like it. It's terrible. And you say, it was cute before we're married. That was the thing you always thought was so nice. Now you're saying, don't do that. It's terrible. It's because I changed my mind. Do I have a right to change my mind? There's a question just before that. Do you have a mind? Just a question. Can I make up my mind? The question before that. Do you have a mind? Well, what is the answer? Do I have a mind? Sometimes. Well, what is it I have if I don't have a mind? A habitual moving bundle of nerves and muscles and bones just going through life and not even in a state of existence. And on a good day, you may have some compulsions. On a good day. Prior to that, fundamentally, it's vacant in there. We use the intellectual part of our beingness to decipher and discern the phenomena of the world. And when we try to use the intellectual part of our brain to know the spirit, we fail, because we must use intelligence to know the spirit, and that comes out of the heart. Is the heart the emotional center? Yes. Does that mean maudlin, romantic, depressed? No. What is it? It is the presence of God. We understand that presence of the Spirit more through the heart than we do through any other form. Once we feel the presence moving through our heart center, we try the old game called verbalize it. And you know what we say? God is present. And people go, God is present. What an ego trip. Sheesh. Then they say, what's that feeling? God. It's getting more. It's getting more. How big is that? I don't know. I never found the end of it. What do I do with it? Don't ask that question. What's the question to ask? What's it doing with you? Oh, you mean that spirit's dealing with me? How do I deal back? You don't. I'm going to deal back. What happened to that feeling? It's not present when you're dealing. It's only present when it's dealing. When we can get that fundamental difference down, we come up with these old axioms that we always say, oh, that's just a cliche. You all know what a cliche is? Something that's said over and over and nobody pays any attention to. Why? Because it's the truth. Those cliches are true. To start looking at them very carefully and taking them apart, you'll say, God, that's true. Remember the old one called Wait on the Lord? Oh, it's just a cliche. Oh, yeah, we'll speed him up. Well, I can't. Wait on the Lord. What's this one called Let Go and Let God? Ever heard that one? Say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, what's let go? Relax. What's let God? Be patient. So you can take it out of the cliche statement, which is hard to deal with that intellectual thing, let go and let God, and bring it down to a fundamental, radical point of view called relax and be patient. Can you relax and be patient? I know what those are. Can you let go and let God? I don't know what that is. Why? I don't know how to let go and let God do it. And he might not do it my way. And when I find out what my way is, I'll tell him. In the meantime, I hope that it happens real good and that I'm lucky. That's when we start entertaining superstition. That's when we start running, they know more than I do numbers. They know more than I do. So what? So what if somebody does know more than you do? In this room, every one of us knows something more than the person next to us in certain subjects called ourselves. There's nothing greater or nor I think lesser in that. These are just statements of what is. Because that which is just that which is. And the more every one of us can move our consciousness into that which is, then we become a whole, unified, totally present individual with all things. Does that mean we won't swear? No, you probably swear. It just isn't a swear word anymore. When you say to somebody, get the hell out of here, they do. They don't argue with you. They just get up and split. You know, that's a nice statement to have somebody say, get the hell out of my way. Because what do they want? The heaven in my way. People have said that to me. I think, gee, that's really a nice thing to say to me. Yeah. JR, just get the hell out of my way. I'm just doing as fast as I can. If you think I'm hell, you got your head screwed on backwards. See, I don't qualify yet. Of course, the neat thing is I've been called the devil, and I've been called God, and somewhere in between there, I must just be a centipede or something. Someplace in between all this. What are we really? We are God, and we are the devil. Somewhere in between there, we are all of that. Why? Because we're made in God's image and the Spirit is present, that's perfect, and we enter into the world of negativity that's going to corrupt and destroy and decay, and we live here. Is any of that bad? No. Is any of it evil? Only if you define it as such. Do you know the bad news about defining something evil? You got to stick around to make sure it's so. You got to keep a book and keep track and keep tab on everybody. They spit on the floor, that's evil. What are you going to do with this book you're keeping on people? Later on, I'm going to rub their nose in it. And what are they going to do to you while you're rubbing their nose in it? They're going to be cutting my head off. That's right. And I'll tell you why. None of us want our nose rubbed in our experiences of life. We got this far in life through all sorts of negativity and through all sorts of loving and through all sorts of manipulating, and through all sorts of things. So what? I'm present. If you're going to run my past on me, I might as well die at this instant, because you will kill me daily with my past. I'd rather die daily to the past and live present right now. See, we say, but you hurt me. Fine. You handle the hurt. Don't tell me. And I didn't mean to hurt you. All I meant to do was yank you out of the way of the fast-moving car, and it hurt your back. And it hurt your feelings. But I loved you so much, I didn't have time to say, would you please move out of the way so that car won't hit you? It would have been on you by then. I did what was expedient, and it was wrong, and yet it was right. Can we forget the wrong that just seems to go along with this planet and start dwelling more on the right? That doesn't mean that we become addle-pated and namby-pamby and we dismiss it. No, we keep track of it. We just say, that's there, and you see where it goes. You don't put energy into it. You just observe it as it moves through life. What do you put energy in? You put energy in the spirit that is you. How do you put energy into that? By the focus of your mind and your emotions. And when you talk to somebody else, it's so easy to pick them apart physically, by mannerisms, by words. That, in fact, that's such a cheap shot. Anybody can do that. And that doesn't grow you in character and integrity. And yet the difficult one that produces the most dynamic results is finding the God that is there, the Spirit, the goodness. And focus that person on their goodness, not as a form of manipulation. God, that's one of the worst ones, to manipulate people from a goodness position. I know what's good for you. It's almost like, don't, that'll kill me. But when they recognize that it's good, and you know that it's good because that's what it is, and that affirmation of goodness is present as a direction. Boy, like looking at a little baby, and the husband and wife stand there and look at it, and they say, this is just beautiful. Because that's what it is. You can sit there and look and say, gee, it's still ugly little thing. It doesn't have much hair. And, you know, its legs aren't too long. And waves a lot in the air. Yeah, sure, that's all present. But is that the focus of what you want to grow? I'm going to go bankrupt. Yes, keep focusing on that. You'll create it. Or how about focusing on going through this and getting more abundance? Called health, wealth, and happiness. Wealth isn't necessarily money, but it might be. Wealth is that feeling of wholeness and completeness and worthwhileness and value and a contributor to everything, no matter if anybody participates or not. Not that your value is based upon if somebody believes you or does what you say. The value is that you are just present. One of the, I think he's a great spiritual leader of our time, said something in a meeting I was, I heard a tape of it, and he made the statement, folks, this is all there is. And if this isn't enough, that's too bad. That's just tough for you, because this is all there is. And that's the truth. And it shouldn't have been period, double space, new paragraph, or end of book, but more like semicolon. And you can see it more clearly by moving more clearly into the perfection of who you are. Because if that's all it is and you got your nose rubbed in it, that's not too enlightening for anybody. When somebody hits you, knocks you down, say, well, if you don't like this, that's tough because that's all there is. So we're saying, yes, that is all there is, and it is perfect. And you may not like what's going on, and it's still perfect. And you may not want to participate in, and it's still perfect. Well, if it's so perfect, why do I feel that way about it? Because you feel that way about everything. Yeah, I do. Well, not everything. There's a few things I like. What? I like getting my own way. Do you know what getting your own way sets you up for? Anybody in here ever feel frustrated? Have you? Do you know what that's a sign of? Spoiled. I didn't get my own way. I'm frustrated. I can't do what I want to do. I'm frustrated. Why are you so spoiled? Because I just am. I have a right to be spoiled. Yeah, you have a right to be unspoiled too. Oh, darn, you're going to play that game, huh? So no matter what ploy I take, I must come back to the neutral position and observe my life. There's great, great power in the state of observation. Just great power. There's less power in doing something with it. And there's less power if you try to get somebody else to do it. Because they're going to do it their way, not your original perfect way. Remember the statement, if it's got to be done right, I better do it myself? That's an old cliche, except it's true. Yeah. I'm going to go back to a lot of these old Poor Richard sayings and cliches and find out, yeah, it is. But not necessarily is that truth applicable to this time. Because the vernacular and the expression of 2,000 years ago and 1,500 years ago and 50 years ago may not be the same expression we use today. The expression can be updated with the same intent of clarity. The same intent. Take the mind, move it to the spirit. How do you move to the spirit? Chanting those spiritual words that are tied on to the divinity of the spirit. By saying the spiritual word, you move towards the energy of that spirit. It's quite true that once you know the secret name of anyone, you can call them just like that. And there's nothing they can do but turn. Any animal, any creature, any human, anything, once you know the secret vibration, once you know the Lord's name, the true name of the Lord, and you call on it, the essence of the Lord just flows through you and you have the divine presence with you and you become that form of divinity. Then you realize that it is perfect and there are various points of view in that, but it is perfect. That's what makes it so nice. In this room, we're going to have 100 or so different points of view about what I talked about. And you know the nice thing about it? Each one's going to be right. And some are going to be diametrically opposed to each other and they're still going to be right. We use a lot of statements like, the good news is that we're all here tonight. And the bad news is that we're all here tonight. And you say, well, what makes a difference? Your attitude. The key, the magic of this planet is in one simple word, the attitude. But if we just say the attitude, period, we've missed that other part that is invisible. And it goes like this. Attitude, yes, based upon altitude. When you get high enough, you can have a darn good attitude. And what is your challenge, your chore? To find the steps into the altitude. To find out what it is that picks you up by your bootstraps. There's a great singer who used to go on the stage to sing. And they would say to him, why is it you're always up? You're ready to go. He says, because I bring my own crank. I keep my own self cranked up all the time. And I don't depend on anybody else to do it because they're going to do it their way for what they think I need. And I know what I need and I know how to do it, so I do it. And he performs majestically and is very famous. We call it this too. I got to psych myself up. If we realize that we're saying to get my attitude clear, get my altitude up so I can participate in life, to really participate, not just mentalize it, not just feelize it, but to actualize it by moving my body in and through life. That's how we live this existence, this level. Is there other ways to live it? There's other ways to exist it. No one wants to hear that they're not living their life. It's really a rub in the nose to say you're just existing. Because you go, oh, well, yeah, but. And show them 101 reasons why you're living your life. But then when you come into the fullness of living, you say, I really wasn't. So instead of placing a judgment on what is, we can just defer the judgments till later. And live life more fully at this particular time. The fullness of life is ours for the taking. Berush Beishem.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beishem, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.